Peter, James, and John in Salford. Peter, James, and John in Salford. Peter, James, and John in Salford. Out of deep blue sea. Fished all night, but they caught no fishes. Fished all night, but they caught no fishes. Fished all night, but they caught no fishes. Out of deep blue sea.
And, forget how it
Yes, they were next.
Luke 20:38 is the verse altogether. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. Luke 20. Yes, good job, very good. Anyone else want to say it? One more time together. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. Luke 20:38. You can remain standing now for our theme song.
Good morning, and greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. Last fall, we started a series preaching out of Proverbs, and I want to do about two or three more messages from Proverbs. So it's been since November that we were in Proverbs. And so this morning, we want to look at the topic of getting along with other people, getting along with people. And Proverbs has something to say about that. And Proverbs 15 and verse 1, The very nice thing about Proverbs is it's a very short and it's easy to remember. And when you need it, it's right there. So finish the sentence. A soft answer, but grievous words stir up anger, wrath. And it's something so simple. And when you need it, it's right there. A soft answer turns away wrath. So getting along with others, it's a key skill, you know, because not everybody's like me. And you say, yeah, praise the Lord. But everybody's not like you either, you know, and it's a skill. And it's necessary to have happy relationships. Last year, yeah, Sharon and I planned, Lord willing, go to SMBI tomorrow, Ministers Week. And last year, remember, Paul, the first evening, you're supposed to introduce yourself. They line you around. So last year, they gave us some categories. And if you're in the ministry 30 plus years, and I thought, oh, boy, I'm in that category. How'd I get there, Paul? One day at a time, 1 year at a time. So anybody in the ministry 30 plus years, if you're starting your ministry over, what would you do? And I was like, blank. I don't know. What would I do different? There's probably a lot of things. And you don't have a half an hour. So I thought, well, I guess I'll just do it again. That's what I said. I didn't know. But I thought about that since. And I said, you know what? Conflict resolution would be an excellent study for any of us, all of us, it's something that maybe some of us shy away from and don't want anything to do with, and we run and hightail us like, but actually it's something to engage in and to look for opportunity. And so I think that's something I'd probably do different. I'd engage in conflict, you know, studying conflict and the dynamics and bringing people together. And so I really like the book Ken Sandy, Sande, Peacemaker, has excellent things to say about conflict resolution. And we might bring some of that out this morning. But the purpose of getting along with others is to win friends, influence people through wise management of your interpersonal relationships. And so how do you feel when someone speaks down to you? How do you feel when you feel attacked, don't you? You feel belittled, you feel put down, and so all of a sudden the self-defense mechanisms go up. And so there's lots of emotions involved. And conflict, I like this definition of conflict. It is the difference of opinion or purpose that frustrates someone else's goals or desires. Conflict is the difference of opinion or purpose that conflicts or frustrates someone else's purpose or desires. And so I'd like to start out with a little illustration this morning, and we're going to pick up that illustration in the conclusion. So we have three backpackers, and they all three want to go on a hike. And they come to an icy mountain stream. And one of the backpackers wants to rush right on in. It doesn't matter if you get wet or we're going to cross. It's just, so what's the big deal? We're just going to cross this icy mountain stream. And so that's one backpacker. The other backpacker is kind of hanging back and says, you know, I really think this is a little messy. Let's find another way around. And I don't want to get wet. And then the other backpacker is looking at the whole thing as something not to jump headlong into and not something to cower away from, but as an opportunity to overcome together. So we're going to pick up on the three backpackers at the end. But let's go to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. You already quoted that. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Another translation says a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So how does a harsh word stir up anger? When you stir up something, you're agitating it, right? On our milk tank, on the bulk milk tank, it was this motor on top with a rod that went down with a paddle. And as the warm milk comes into the cooling tank, that it's being agitated. It's being stirred around so it cools evenly. One time the agitator wasn't working. The milk didn't cool right. Called the inspector. It was just like kind of like borderline. Yeah, let's make cheese out of this milk instead of shipping it off. So yeah, it was a good solution. But the agitator, the stirring it up, in that case was a very positive thing. But you know, when you stir up things, it's an attack on a person. It's like throwing gas on a putzy smoldering fire. When I was young, and I worked for my my great uncle in the summer of 1976, but I guess it was wintertime. And so some of my cousins, I say my cousins, it was boys that were, his dad was my dad's first cousin, so I guess we're second cousins. And he had a big stock tank, and in that big stock tank was a barrel. It's kind of a neat looking thing. It has a smokestack on it. Anyway, you put cobs in that barrel and you kept a fire in there to keep the ice from, it was a fairly big stock tank for his Angus steers. Keep the from freezing over. And this thing was smoldering and smoking and putzing along. And I'm going to get this going. I got a can, tin can about this big. And I went to the gas pump and I got it. Boom! And not only went it boom, I mean, that little barrel was rocking around. But that fire followed me. I threw it in the barrel. And then this, I could see it. Yeah, the stream of fire was, I had the can and I was running backwards. It's like, whoa, that fire's after me. And I dropped the can and finally it stopped there. But it was like, grievous words. It's like throwing gas on a fire. It's just, you know, when you work with propane, once in a while, it's good to have something go boof in your face so you can remember to have respect for propane. I was trying to light a water heater one time at this lady's house. I was laying down on the basement floor. And you turn the pilot light on and you hit the clicker and it lit. And then you go turn it on so that it would fire the, and it went out. So you got to go back to the pilot, push it back in and hit the striker again. Except in this case, you should have aired it out a little bit because I hit the striker the second time and boom. She said, "What happened? Are you okay?" I said, "Well, I had my hair yet, but it blew the vent top right off the top of the, I thought I ruined her heater." But anyway, it kind of, it puts some fear, you know, and it's like when you work with propane, you got to remember that this stuff goes boom. And that's how it is with grievous words. It causes booms. It causes explosion. And so the Bible says a gentle answer turns away the boom. And it shows the wrathful one that you're not willing to return in kind the treatment that you got. And so you diffuse or disarm. And I think diffuse is a word that's being used today. I was took a neighbor to Lancaster General Hospital. Their son had fallen off a roof. He was in the ICU unit, trauma unit with a head injury. And so while they were visiting, I was down the hall a little bit. And the nurse's lounge is over here. And there was all kinds of posters on the, and there was all kinds of instructions about what to do to diffuse a violent, potentially violent situation in the hospital. And that's really interesting. Using soft words, don't do jerky, real quick motions to diffuse someone who's really agitated, angry, upset, about ready to blow up, you know, just what do you do to calm the situation? A gentle answer, a gentle answer. And that's basically what the message is all about. Proverbs 17:14, the beginning of strife is as when you let out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Another translation says, Proverbs 17:14, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Picture in your mind an earthen dam. Maybe you can, if you know the story of the Johnstown flood, it was a lake up some miles up the valley, and it was an earthen dam, and it wasn't of the best maintained situation, but heavy, heavy rains, and you know how a pinhole starts. I'll tell you this illustration. Heating oil tanks start rusting on the bottom, and when they start rusting, it's interesting. They just don't gush. They start with a pinhole, just when metal rusts out, it gets weak and it starts weeping, and then you have a little pinhole, and then through that pinhole, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until you have a gush, like an earthen dam, and then you got a real problem, don't you? So Proverbs 17:14 says, drop the matter. And so how do you keep the matter fresh? You know, it's like, well, not don't hash it over and over and over and over and over and over in your head. Don't provoke the matter. An unforgiving spirit keeps bringing it up, keeps needling it. And Proverbs 17:14 is encouraging us, drop it. Is it really that important? Sometimes I ask me the question, 100 years from now, will it really matter? When you're facing a conflict or something, ask yourself, 100 years from now, will it really matter? I think 100 years from now, how we handle things will matter, because that's how defines our character. Well, let's look at two examples in Judges about somebody who was hot-headed, all right? Judges chapter 8. Go with me to Judges chapter 8. And we have the tribe of Ephraim. And they seem like these guys are hotheads. I don't know if they thought, we are Joseph's descendants, and so we're kind of entitled here to have a special place or what. I don't know what their problem is, but they're hotheaded, the Ephraimites. So this is in the story of Gideon. Gideon, you know, that unlikely man that God chose to lead God's armies. But in chapter 7, right at the end of chapter 7, Gideon sends messengers throughout Mount Ephraim saying, come down against the Midianites. And he tells them to go down to this place where these streams are, cut off the escape route. He wants the Ephraimites to go down here to the escape route. And so they're not on the line, front line, battle line, but they're cutting off the pass, okay? Gideon says, you Ephraimite guys, you go down here. In case these Midianites try to escape, you go down here into this valley here where this stream is, and it's cut off the escape route. Okay, so chapter 8, the men of Ephraim said unto him, why do you serve us and called us not when we went to fight with the Midianites? And it says they chided with him sharply. They were upset. They weren't in the front row battle line. They didn't have the special. They weren't the Green Beret Marines. They weren't the special forces. They were on the far away, on the outside, on the to cut off the. And they were upset. And they're talking to Gideon, and they're chide with him sharply. I mean, these guys were. They were red in the face, their blood vessels were popping out on their neck, and they were furious with Gideon. And so how's Gideon react? Verse 2, what have I done in comparison to you? Is it not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God's delivered into your hands the prince of Midian, Oreb and Zeb, and what was I able to do in comparison to you? And then their anger was abated to them when he had said that. In other words, Gideon's saying, you know what, you guys, what you did compared to what I did, you did a great job. And you did a better job than me. That's what Gideon's saying. Soft answer, turns away wrath. And so they were pacified, okay? Now, let's go to Judges chapter 12. Ephraim is involved again. Ephraim, the Ephraimites, chapter 12. Now we have a man by the name of Jephthah. Okay. And this time, yeah, look at verses 1 through 6. The men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went forth into Jephthah. And wherefore you passed over against the children of Ammon, and you did not call us to go with us, to go with you. We will burn your house with fire. Sounds like hot-headed Ephraim's again. You didn't give us, you know, you didn't call us into the active service here, and you didn't invite us along to come. So we're going to burn your house down. Sounds like cool, calm, collected tribe of Ephraim, right? No, these guys are hotheads. They're looking for trouble. They're looking to pick a fight. We didn't get what we deserve. And instead of a soft answer, things escalate, and Japheth lets them have it. And so he really pours gas on the fire, and the explosion happens, and they end up having a civil war. And 42,000 Ephraimites are killed. They didn't even come out on top. Proverbs 17:14 talks about you when you breach a dam, the pinhole starts, and out comes the gush. James picks up this thought, James chapter 3 and verse 5. The tongue is a little matter, and a great and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. So these guys are upset at Japheth, and Japheth lets it have them back, and they end up killing and shooting each other. They stirred up wrath. They threw gas on the fire, and it blew up in their face. Proverbs 20 and verse 3, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. King James says it this way, it is to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Every fool is quick to quarrel. And we know Japheth. He was had a lot of things against him, but he was called from God to lead Israel, and he had a rash mouth, didn't he? Came back from battle. He says, if the Lord delivers me from this battle, I will sacrifice the first thing that comes out of my house. There's none other than his daughter. And we can debate whether or not she was actually offered as a sacrifice, a burnt sacrifice, which was against God's law. But we know that she bewailed her virginity. But anyway, that's a whole nother discussion. But rash of the mouth. Rash of the mouth. Harsh words, attack words, a condemnation, condescending nature in your words. But Proverbs 20 and verse 3, it says that it's an honor for a man to avoid strife. So does that show weak character to avoid strife? Does it show timidness? Does it show cowardness? Does it show that you're a weak-willed person if you avoid strife? How is it then that it is an honor to avoid strife? Well, one of the secrets is to distinguish between a solid stand versus endless babbling and provoking, quarreling, and arguments. You know, if you like, discussion is one thing. Arguing for arguing's sake is another. You don't get anywhere. You just go round and round and round in circles. And so sometimes it's kind of like, it's really sad. Back in Bolivia, a lady asked me, did you see my husband last night? Yeah. He was laying in a mud puddle on the road drunk. He didn't come home. He didn't die, but yeah. Did you ever talk to a drunk person? You don't get anywhere. You ever talk to an angry person? Down in Bolivia, I had a person that was, he was both. He was intoxicated and he was upset because us gringos were down there. Capitalistas taking advantage of the poor Bolivians, and he just let me have it. Now, in his sober state, he never talked like that to me, but you can't talk to either. You can't talk to an angry person. You can't talk to a drunk person because they're filled with what intoxicates them. So distinguish between a solid stand on something and an endless babbling arguments. I learned something way back when in Rosedale Bible School where Sharon and I met. Elmer Jancy said, you know what? You can win the argument, but if you lose the person, what did you gain in winning the argument? You lose the person. So some arguments, some discussions, you have to just let the matter drop. Proverbs 25, verse 15, through patience, a ruler can be persuaded. I think of the persistent widow. Jesus said, you know, don't lose heart. That persistent widow, she had to keep going back to that judge. He didn't care a thing about her. He wasn't godly. He didn't care about her situation. And yet that was her means of getting justice. And so she just kept coming and coming and coming And he said, finally, she's going to wear me out. So I'm going to give her due case, see her case in court and settle her case. And so Jesus says, every man ought to pray and not lose heart. So through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. A gentle tongue can break a bone. Is either focused on the family or family talk. I had an author on talking about it. She written a book about dealing with strong-willed children. And I think the title of the book is You Can't Make Me, But I Can Be Persuaded. And that's a study in itself, how you deal with strong-willed people. And strong-willed people aren't necessarily rebellious, but they have a lot of passion that may need to be harnessed, but that passion isn't necessarily rebellion. So, you know, like I said, conflict, this whole study, it should have fascinated me years ago, but it's, you know, something to pursue. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. So, would you rather be around someone who's loud, arrogant, intrusive, and is having a meltdown in a discussion? Would you rather be with someone who has a soft answer, he's respectful, he's gentle, he's persistent, submissiveness, he's under self-control? And I think that's what Proverbs 25, verse 15 is all about. A gentle tongue can break a bone. Sometimes we think the louder we get, the more forceful we are, the more we stomp our feet and slam the door, we are more persuasive, and the Bible doesn't teach that. Proverbs 25, verse 28. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. Sometimes impatience views restraint only as a restriction. Restraints aren't bad, are they? But when we're impatient, we think of restraints as only as restrictions. I remember, and I didn't live here at the time, what year was Three Mile Island meltdown? The 70s, 79. It was quoted in the Gospel Herald or something that we read in Illinois. The Amishman said, you know, you can have a harness like nuclear power, but sometimes the harness breaks. Sometimes the harness breaks. So impatience views restraint only as a restriction. So restraints, we shouldn't think of them as restrictions. And let's go to a couple proverbs to just read them and observe. Proverbs 16 and verse 32. Proverbs 16, verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit than he that takes a city. He that's slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit than he that takes a city. Restraint is not a restriction. Restraint. The power of self-control. Proverbs 14 and verse 17. He that is soon angry deals foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. He that is soon angry deals foolishly. Verse 29, first same chapter. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalts folly. There I think of the illustration of someone who shoots from the hip. You know what that looks like? You know, in the old West, and they had those gunfights, you know, you shoot from the hip, you know, shoot. Sometimes you see these signs. I don't recommend you have them at your house, but, you know, we shoot first and then ask questions later, that kind of thing. Never mind the dog, beware the owner, those kind of things. Sometimes you see those signs that, and yeah, I hang people's receipts on their doors, and there's sometimes dogs inside, and that dog is just clamoring, snarling, barking. I thought, what's the inside of that house must look like? They're at the door pawing along, and yeah, well, never mind the dog, beware the owner. But he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. He that is hasty of spirit exalts folly, magnifies it. Simple, isn't it? Very simple things we can easily remember. A soft answer turns away wrath. Proverbs 29, verse 11. Chapter 29, verses 11. A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it until afterwards. In other words, think before you talk. Think before you speak. Oh, I guess it's credited to Abraham Lincoln. He said it's better to keep your mouth shut and to let people think you're a fool than to open it and remove all doubt. Think about what you're saying before you say it. It's kind of like a toothpaste. Out of the toothpaste, once you squirt it out, you can't get it back in, can you? Can't take those words back. Once they're said, once and how they're said, you can't ever take them back. So it's like a pressure gauge. Ain't a fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it in till afterwards. Yeah, I read a lot about Abraham Lincoln. He was very upset with some of his generals, and he'd write a nasty letter and he'd let it sit for a while, and then he'd rewrite it. There's such a thing as venting. There's such a thing as thinking through how you're feeling. We have these feelings for a reason. Just like there's pressure gauges on things that are under pressure that lives off the steam when it's too much, But self-control is like a walled city. So the question is this morning for me and for you, where do my city walls need repaired? Something for us to think about. Where does my city, where's the cracks and where's the pinholes that could cause a gush? Where do my city walls need repaired? And another question to think about, when we think about living, getting along with others, is it the words and deeds of those around me? Are they the things that make me happy? The things that are said to me, is that what makes me happy? Or is it my words and deeds and my own mouth and heart? Is this what makes for peace? It's like the old saying, you can't keep birds from flying overhead, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. In other words, you and I can't help what's spoken to us at times, but it's my responsibility how and what I speak. So, my own words and deeds, how I address someone, shows really what's in my heart. And so, the Bible says that in the tongue, it has the power to heal and to destroy. So, think about that when you're relating to someone. Am I making for opportunity for growth and healing, or am I making for an opportunity to disintegrate the situation? In the power of the tongue, there is the power to heal and to destroy. So, in Ken Sand's book, The Peacemaker, he talks about four G's of conflict. Four G's. Number one, glorify God. We have that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And by the way, let's go there. I want to use that here as the end, the conclusion. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, very end of the chapter. Verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. In other words, don't be offensive to people. And yet, balance the scripture with the scripture. There are things that need to be said, and truth stands. In the case of Brother Rusty, you know, he said, now, this is going to be hard for some of you to accept, but this is what God says. And so, but you don't be offensive just to be offensive. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Be followers of me, even as I am of God. That's a key verse. So glorify God in our conflicts. Seek to glorify God. Is it glorifying to God to win my argument? Is it glorifying to God to press upon my opinion upon another to the point of that it crushes the other person? Glorify God. Number two, second G, get the log out of your own eye. Referring to Jesus' words in Sermon on the Mount, he didn't say, you know, it's not our place not to get the speck out of the other person's eye, but get the log out of your own eye first. Number three G, gently restore, Galatians 6:1. You that are spiritual, restore in the spirit of meekness. I can be in the same situation. I'm vulnerable too. I am bent towards sin and just like you are. And the fourth G, go and be reconciled. Matthew 5 and verse 4. So those are four G's of conflict, and that's a whole subject in itself. But remember, conflict is a difference of opinion or purpose that frustrates someone else's goal or desire. So let's go to our backpacking friends. All right, number one backpacker. We come to the mountain stream here, and he said, you know, what is the trouble, guys? Let's just jump in and go. So what if we get wet? So what if we get cold? It's part of the adventure, right? Why are we out here backpacking? So just jump in, both feet. And number two backpacker says, no, I'm not going to get wet. I'm not going to get cold. I didn't sign up for this. This isn't part of the trip. And so we're going to find another way. We're not even going to cross this stream. And so we have a conflict, right? And then the third backpacker says, all right, you guys, you know what? We're on a backpacking trip, and this is the trail, and we got to cross this here. So we got to think together. How can we get across here together as a group and enjoy ourselves? Well, how do you do things like that? So, well, they start thinking about it, and let's look this situation over. There's some boulders through the stream here. Okay, let's send somebody over in the middle rock, and we can hand him the backpack to him so you don't get off the balance, and then he can toss it on the other side, and then he gets on the other side. We get the second person in the middle boulder, and then we can throw our backpacks across. And anyway, they worked it out. So they didn't get wet, they didn't get cold, and they worked together. Instead of refusing the situation and ignoring it altogether, instead of just jumping in full headlong, foolishly, and belittling other people that aren't quite as courageous and aren't quite as tough and rough as I am, they found a solution together to cross over together. The illustration of three backpackers crossing an icy mountain stream. And we find ourselves in situations like that all the time, right? So anyway, you know, getting along with other people, it's a whole subject, but it can be fun. So don't let it get you down. But like these proverbs, they're so simple and they're so easy to remember. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up wrath. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us tongues. Thank you for giving us minds to think. Thank you for giving us hearts to feel with. Thank you for giving to each other. Thank you for giving us differing opinions and values and things. And yet you're teaching us to get along, because that shows that there's a God in heaven who's a God in the earth too, and his people. And so help us not to be afraid of conflict for conflict's sake, but to face conflicts and differing opinions together to glorify you, to get the logs out of our own eyes, to be able to be restored, and to be reconciled. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us to each other. Thank you for giving us the opportunities to work together for your glory and for the benefit of this each. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Paul, you have a closing song for us. Or Nevin, I'm sorry. Yeah. Nevin, I enjoy your song leading. You're expressive and your eyes. Yeah. Come on, lead us in a song now.
At church hymnal, song number 200, I'm sorry, 494. 494 in the church hymnal. The song has a verse written underneath the title, says, "Do all to the glory of God." So I just was thinking of, in the last phrase of the first verse, talks about resolving to think and speak and do. So our thoughts, our words, our actions come in play there with that verse. Forth in thy name, O Lord.
Thank you, Nevin. You know, it's good to make mistakes. keeps you where you belong. So let's stand for a benediction. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present us glorious before his glorious presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forevermore, world without end. Amen. Depart in peace.